Hi everyone, I'm Joel Gould and welcome to the new edition of NRL.com's Pearls Preview Pod. We're coming to you from the QRL studios in Brisbane. We're going to preview, as we do every week, the eight NRL games that are on the schedule in round nine. But first, Steve, I'd like to ask you about this round. It's pretty special, magic round in Brisbane. Had a big celebration today, 16 players. Well, was it 16? No, it was only 15.
No,
the Broncos didn't have one.
I think the Broncos are a no-show, from what I read.
Well, they have a reason for that. They reckon it's something to do with the NRMA and also UWI. It was sponsoring it, but
okay.
I saw a pretty interesting piece on Channel 9, actually, where it pointed out that they play at a Suncorp Stadium.
Exactly.
Anyway, Petro was happy to be a Bronco for today. He was dressed in his Penrith gear to start with, but he was the Bronco, and Wendell spoke about the Broncos. So,
yeah.
You know, he was a St. George representative there, and Penrith...
Well, they're both on the books here, so they qualify for that.
They're on the Broncos books?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. I thought you might be there, Steve, but you're up in Townsville.
Not a chance.
But what a great venue to have.
Oh yeah, look,
the whole round.
Look, let's just talk about the round. I think it's great for rugby league, and this is a new concept. This is going to be great, I think, for the city, and it'll attract people. That obviously we have a lot of different fans here in Queensland. For a lot of different teams, we just think everyone follows the Broncos here, but that's not the case. So I think it's going to be great for everyone.
Well, it all kicks off on Thursday night and goes right through until Sunday. It's not a one-off either. It's locked in, I believe, for the next. I think Kate Jones, the minister, was saying the other day. I think it's locked in for three years.
Yeah,
so it's going to be an event for some time.
It is
to come.
An event, and it's great, the Palaszczuk government, have come forward with this and Kate Jones, and it's a great initiative. It brings revenue into the city. I know the venues around here, places like the Caxton Hotel, they can't wait for this sort of thing. It brings a bit of a boost to the economy here locally.
It's innovative from both the government, from the NRL itself, and from the other bodies that I dare say were involved in getting this over the line. So it's a great thing. We're looking forward to it immensely, and it's all roads lead to Brisbane, really, for the next week.
Well, Joel, I was in Townsville today, up there doing a bit of work, and there's a lot of people I talked to today who are heading down for the game, so it's pulling people from all over the place.
Mm. Excellent. Well, Steve, we will get to the Broncos. It's been a tumultuous week for the Brisbane Broncos, of course, after their dismal performance against South Sydney and some of the things that have happened since. But we'll kick it off looking at the first game on the program, which is Thursday evening, the Sharks versus the Titans. Titans after a disappointing loss, I think, really, to the Cowboys. The Sharks, absolutely fantastic against the Storm. What a gritty club they are and continue to be. They really find a way, don't they, to win games that you just don't think that they were going to.
Oh, it was amazing. It was a really good match to watch. I just don't know that the Storm, they come out, typical Storm, they're okay. But then, somehow the Sharks got on top of them and they just didn't take the foot off the pedal. They played a really good game across the board, And, they're still really not full strength, but they seem to be pulling these wins and, good on them. They're a very good team.
I think one thing we discover most weeks, and we shouldn't be surprised because he's won a premiership, is that Chad Townsend's probably one of the most underrated halves in the game. He was outstanding.
He was. He did a great job. He leads that team around and he doesn't mind having a shot at the line himself. He loves running the ball and it's good to see.
Britton Nakora, how good's he on that right edge for the Sharks? He missed a game with suspension, but he's a prospect, isn't he?
Yeah, he's had a great start to the year. He's had a great year so far. So, he's made a big he's been a big influence for that team, and obviously with the injuries they've had going over the past few weeks, so he's done a great job.
Well, the Titans need something. Jai Arrow once again was their best player. I thought he's just been outstanding. There's a bit of a disappointment for the Titans with Tyrone Roberts out. AJ Brimson's going to start at 5'8". Ash Taylor spoke this week during the week at a promo for Fox Sports for Magic Round, where he said he's getting a bit more confidence in his body. He's had a disrupted season, and he needs to take it to the next level. Agreed?
Yeah, agreed. I think Ash, and he's probably said in his own words, you know, that he's been a bit below par, and he's getting back, you know, back on his feet, and I think he'd be looking for a really good game, a solid game, you know. And Robert, obviously, now the pressure's even more so on if Robert's out. You know, I think he could sort of carry himself for a few couple of weeks with Robert still there doing the job, but he's obviously not there this week, so Ash really needs to step up.
Who's going to win, Steve?
Look, Joel, this is a tough one. Look, I get it quite easily, say, look, the Sharks will get away this one. You look at the way the two have been playing. But historically, you know, we've had a couple of double headers up here in a time, and Titans have been part of that. And I think they've played Melbourne Storm in the past, and they've come up with a win there. And look, I really think the Titans will get this one. You know, they didn't have a great visit up here last time, the Sharks, the last time up here. And hopefully they'll feel a bit of that, so I'm going to back the Titans.
Okay, I'm tipping the Sharks in this game. I just the Titans need to show me more before I'm going to tip them. The West Tigers are hosting the Panthers, well, playing the Panthers at Suncorp on Friday, the first game to kick off Friday's action. The West Tigers were touched up by Latrell Mitchell last week, and the Panthers were very disappointing against Canberra. So the Panthers have had a few things go against them this week, a few things go for them. Viliami Kikau's have been named among the reserves, so he could be a shock late inclusion. So far, his place has been taken by Frank Winterstein. Dean Ware's back from a hamstring in the centres, and James Maloney's free to play after getting off at the judiciary. For the West Tigers, Benji Marshall's back after a 6-week layoff, which is good for Ryan Madison. He allows him to go back to his preferred back row. They're some of the key changes in this game. Two sides coming off a loss. What do you make of this? The pressure's on the Panthers here. They've been a very disappointing outfit so far.
Oh, without a doubt, Joel. Definitely on them. And, you know, I just look at, you know, the two teams. And, yes, you know, I think any team that played the Roosters last week, which the Tigers did, would have got a touch-up. You know, Latrell Mitchell was on fire. I just think, you know, especially with Benji Marshall back, that's going to make a big difference. He'll add a bit of spark, I think, for him. And he does that. That's just what he does. And he's no different, you know, even wearing his old boots at the moment. When I talk about boots, I talk about his age. But he's, you know, been playing some good footy. So Penrith, I just can't get my head around their footy at the moment. They leave me a bit, you know, wandering about, you know, what's happening there, where you've got the caliber of players. And so for me, it's going to be the Tigers.
Yeah, well, the Panthers are out of form across the field. That's the problem I see at the moment. They really need more from their forward pack. Some good players in there, James Fisher-Harris, Campbell Gillard and Tarmow. They're just not firing as they should. And that's it's reflected across the team, I think. They're just out of sync. The Tigers have been up and down. They've had a couple of thrashings, but they've also shown a lot too under Michael Maguire's coaching. So I'm tipping the West Tigers there also. The big game, from your point of view, Steve, is the injury-ravaged Sea Eagles up against the Brisbane Broncos. Des Hasler, what a job he's doing. He's got to move Apisai Corris out of 5'8 for Croker, who's done his hammy. He's already got Dylan Walker suspended and Daly Cherry-Evans on the sideline. No Tom Trbojevic. Now he's lost Adam Fanua-Blake, and Sipley comes in there at prop to, which earned promotions to the bench for Morgan Boyle and Kalepi Tanganawa. So this team, I look at the Manly team, it's ravaged by injury. The Broncos have had their own injury concern this week with Andrew McCulloch going down with an MCL. So Jake Turpin comes in there. They've dropped Jermaine Asako and James Roberts.
For what reason, I don't know, Joel. How they were made the scapegoat for their bad form, I think that's all I could read that one, which is I just don't realise how that could happen. You know, a centre and a winger being held responsible for their poor form doesn't sit right with me.
It doesn't?
No, not at all.
James didn't have a great game.
Yeah, well, sorry, but Milford has had one good game this year, and he's still there. And poor old Cody, who's been the better out of the two halves, has gone altogether. So you tell me what's going on at the place.
Yeah, it's very confusing, isn't it?
That's right across the board.
That's really got a lot of people wondering. I mean, and how valuable would Cody Nikorima have been to this team now with McCulloch out? At the start of the year, Cody went to see Anthony Seibold, who guaranteed his future. And then Cody's come out this week and said that Anthony told him he wasn't his long-term halfback.
Yeah. Well, so you've got to suffer the consequences, and that's on both sides. That's on both sides. That's on whether the decision made by the club and the coaching staff. And look, I can just say, I'll say, put it on the record, there's been a lot of bad decisions made at that club in the past, 12 months. Been terrible. And it hasn't ended. So I don't know where it's going to stop. Even go down to the fact, as I said, to drop Asako and Roberts, they're to blame for the poor form? I don't think so. You know, I just think there's stuff going on there that just needs to be sorted very quickly, unless they're going to have a very, very, if they haven't, they're on that slide already, going to have a bad season.
Well, the Broncos used to be a place everyone wanted to be at, and lately it seems to be a place people don't want to be at, and there's a pretty good mail that James Roberts is very upset, very disappointed with what's happened, and he seems disconnected at the moment from what's going on at the Broncos. And I guess when you look at some of the players they've let go in the last six months, you know, Josh Maguire, Jordan Kahu, and now Cody Nikorima, I really don't understand that.
Well, Alex Glenn was borderline. He sort of half went through that, even though he ended up staying. And look, I can tell you there's a couple more sitting there as well who aren't happy. And I'm saying that straight. There are things happening there that need to be sorted.
Well, we saw last week, of course, Steve, the Wayne Bennett. We had articles on NRL.com about the saga, the last days of Bennett at the Broncos. There were some really interesting pieces in the Courier-Mail also about a really interesting series by my colleague Peter Bedell, who obviously chief league writer there. And that really did raise a lot of questions again about the way the Broncos handled Wayne's exit from the club. And it made it very clear to me, from what I've seen, is that Anthony Seibold did leave Souths he left Souths with, we're led to believe, without a guarantee at the Broncos before he came here. Because he let the deadline pass and there was a gap, and then he had to put everything on the line to get the Broncos job. But then it looks to me as though there was some guarantee given to him somewhere there that he'd have the job, because why would he do that? Why would he turn his back on Souths without a guarantee?
Well, look, without, you know, you can never say 100%, and this is what sort of gets around the place. And look, Wayne had Buckley's staying there, to be honest, as you mentioned, with that deal done. And we sort of knew that even before Anthony Seibold's name came up, that, Wayne, I heard that very early on, that you know, things were put in place for him to be exited at the end of the year, and look, it came to fruition. So, you know, there's some truth in what I heard early on, and a lot of other people. So, and look, either way, it's happened. I just wish the club would sort things out
now, so
we can start winning. That's the bottom line. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be a lot of short fuses if we keep going down the track we're going.
One positive to come out of the game was Tom Dearden's debut as an 18-year-old. And then Wendell Saylor told us today that he thought Dearden really led the way and showed the rest of the team what mental toughness and competitiveness is. Like, Wendell's a good mate with Anthony Seibold.
He is.
Anthony was his best man at his wedding. So, I mean, Wendell was very honest today, but I thought what he said is so true. There is a lack of mental toughness when the games. I know Anthony trots out statistics after games, and that's his prerogative. But the games come down to a desire, often, doesn't it?
Exactly, and this is where the players have got to take a lot of the responsibility. I mean, you know, we just can't keep hammering sieves about this. I mean, he did a great job with Southside. He got Coach of the Year. I mean, so come on, boys. I'm talking about the 17 that run out every week. You know, have a go, boys. you know. And the only thing is, I notice, and even Darius has been under fire, but the funny thing is that they've also been told how to deliver their messages to the media, and it's been coached them pretty well, that they could have the worst game ever, which a lot of them have had at the start of the season, but all they'll talk to the media about is the good things they do. How, even they could be there so little, but that's the first thing they do it. And I've noticed that since, you know, obviously since the start of the season, but they need to start taking responsibility for their bad performances.
Okay, well, Steve, the Broncos beat an injury-ravaged Sharks here a few weeks ago, and they've got an injury-ravaged Manly here. They couldn't have chosen to play Manly on a better day to beat them. This Manly side, and Kane Elgee, how good was he last week? His best game in Manly colours. Lovely passes to set up a couple of tries for Ruben Garrick out wide. I was very impressed also with Martin Taupau, as I have been all season. And they've been, their back row's going well, Thompson, Siren and Trbojevic. So they're not going to be pushovers. If the Broncos think they're going to just turn up and win the game just because Manly's injured, then they've got another thing coming.
This is still going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be close. I think Manly still have the firepower in the middle to match you know, our team. The thing is, I believe that the Broncos really need a win. I'm put my money on them that they'll get up this weekend. And, you know, we've got young Turpin and Dearden there. Dearden's going to be better for it. And, you know, Turpin, he's no slouch either. He goes pretty good in the middle. So he's had a bit of experience there. So Broncos for me.
Yeah, I'm tipping the Broncos to win this. I just think it's a bridge too far for Manly. If they win this game, it'll be a remarkable achievement and tribute. I mean, we all know how good Des is as a coach, but he's instilled some real belief and desire into this Manly side, and they're playing some really gutsy football. And I tell you, when they get their full team back, they're going to be a real threat in this competition. I could see them doing some damage in it.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, we move on to Saturday's first game, which is the Bulldogs hosting. Well, not hosting. They're playing again. All these games are at Suncorp. So the Bulldogs are playing the Knights, who came off a really good win over the Warriors. Mitchell Pearce, outstanding. Callum Ponga, fantastic. When those two blokes fire, it makes such a difference. And their forwards did the business, but those two guys really stood up last week. Ponga, 20 points, and Pearce was in everything.
Yeah, you know, they started out a couple of weeks ago, the Newcastle, so you got to give it to them. And look, they've finally hit their straps. You know, they came into the start of the season with a lot of promise. You know, and they'd be in their own... their own words, they'd be disappointing. So I just think with this game, I'm going to back the Knights. I just think their couple of good weeks will carry on up here in Brisbane.
I do too. There's one positive for Canterbury. And look, I don't think they were that bad against Manly, but Manly just out-gritted them so that the Bulldogs weren't disgraceful by any means. But they'll be hoping that Kieran Foran will play because he's aiming for a comeback from injury. He's been named on the reserves list. So at this stage anyway, that's where it is with him. And I thought the last game he played before he got injured was his best game in a long, long time. So Kieran, let's hope he's back. One of my favourite players when he was at Manly.
Yeah, it'd be good to see him back, you know. And yeah. if he does get time and... You know, he'll make a difference to the team. When you look at the two, I'm going to go the Knights.
Yeah, I think the Knights have just finally settled on a way they want to play the game. They've got a bit of belief, and they're a good team. I always thought they were going to go well. We've said that and often tipped them when they lost, but I'm definitely tipping the Knights there. The Warriors are disappointing again. They just find ways to lose games that they should not have lost, that one. They're playing the Dragons on Saturday afternoon. They're going to have to start winning, and winning very soon, aren't they, if they're going to make
definitely.
Any impact in this season?
Look, I just think they're having a typical Warriors season. You know, they're in one week, they're out for a couple. When I talk about in and out, about their performances, and, you know, look, St George are coming off. They'd be disappointed with their performance last week. I don't see any problem with St George... You know, getting away with this one pretty comfortably.
No, honest. I think so. Well, the big news in this game, of course, is the first game for Cody Nikorima playing for the Warriors in the number six jersey alongside Blake Green. I think they're going to be a really good combination.
Isn't that ironic that he's playing his first game back here?
He is. And so there's a lot of changes to the Warriors side. David Fisatua's back. That's a big thing. Isaac Luke's been dumped. Nathaniel Roach has come in for him. Jazz Tavagan's back. Funga's back on the bench for them. Bunty Afoa's back from a leg injury. Adam Blair's out with suspension. The Dragons, of course, unfortunately lost Corey Norman to a cheekbone injury last week, and that's the only change to the 17 that unfortunately got overpowered by the Eels. Mm. Look, the Dragons should win this game. I'm pretty sure of that. They'll be disappointed with the way they faded out. They looked world beaters in the first half. How good was that try by Matt Dufty?
Yeah, I know.
Was that one of the tries of the year?
Yeah, it was, mate.
If not the try of the year?
Yeah, no, just the movement of the ball through the team. I thought it was a great try.
Corey Norman was involved in that too, and he set up the try before he got injured with that cheekbone. You know, I think he was really tracking nicely to be a 14 for Queensland.
You know, look, can I make a point about that tackle that happened there? And I think it's pretty disappointing. I thought there should have been some penalty for that because it was careless. You know, he tacked high and virtually it was similar. I mean, you're always going to be, if you're going to go in like that, it's no thought in that tackle. And if you're going to go in like that, there's going to be a clash of heads. And for me, I was disappointed in that. It was clumsy and it was dangerous. It bordered on dangerous. You know, we saw that with Napa and his style, and you see a few players like that running around at the moment. They just there's no thought in there. It's just going in to make contact. But when you're up high and you've got the heads involved, it borders on dangerous.
It's going to be a big loss. I've been really impressed with Corey Norman. I thought he was doing some really good things for St. George.
No, I feel disappointed for him, yeah, definitely.
The Dragons they've had a funny old season. They lost games early, then they won. They lost two, and they won four, and they lost two. So they seem to be a team that gets on a bit of a roll. This is a game they should win. Their kicking game's going to have to be good because, I mean, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's been limited lately because the kicking games of the opposition's been good. I mean, Morgan kicked well, kicked well, and Ben Hunt is going to have to kick well because otherwise...
Well, he's not a known good kicker, Bent, and he really needs to turn that around. And obviously, you know, Paul McGregor's looked at that, and, you know, if other teams succeeded there, I think you're right, Joel. They really need to get that right.
Okay, well, we'll move on to the other game, which is going to be a belter on Saturday night, the Storm against the Eels. The Storm got absolute served by Craig Bellamy. He said, if you don't turn this around, if you don't aim up, I'll find some new people that will. And this is a bloke that just lost two games. He stuck with the same 17. If they put in a performance like that again, they won't be the same 17 the next week.
And he'll stick true to that. I mean, you look at that game last week, and it's just they've been in and out of games a bit. The Storm, they had a great start to the season, but that wasn't Storm footy. They just let that one go too easily, I thought, or they were dominated, and And you could understand. I mean, Craig Bellamy sitting there watching that going, that just wasn't Storm-like. So, you know, he'll want the best out of them. And so for me, I mean, that's enough for me to think that they'll turn it around and the Storm will get this one.
I think the Storm will win, but look, Clint Gutherson's going through this contract dilemma at the moment, but he's really standing
up.
He's on fire. Some players can respond to that with all that going around them. Some can't. He was the outstanding. He was in everything last week. And Sivo on the wing did his Rad Rudra impersonation. That was a great try that he scored. Yeah. And Sean Lane, he has to be one of the... If you were going to name the top five signings this year in the NRL for clubs for value, he's given it to Parramatta.
He does such a great job. And he's just unassuming. He just does his job. He's hard to put down. And, you know, he has an offload. He's got it all.
Yes, I'm tipping the Storm here. I'm sure they'll respond to the ultimatum issued to them by Bellamy. The match of the round looms as the Roosters versus the Raiders. Latrell. It was the Latrell show. A hat trick. Magnificent football.
Oh,
what do you make as a centre, Steve? And you must love watching him. He plays on the same side of the field as you.
Yeah, mate. I love watching him, and I would dread having to mark him. He is just the machine, you know. It's you know, and like, you know, you don't want to, because he is Latrell Mitchell, I don't want to compare him to Greg Inglis, but he's one of those players with his stature and his speed and his strength. You just go, well, do I go high on him, do I go low? And, you know, so as an opposition centre defending that, you're in two minds the whole time, because you're just not sure what you're going to get, or, you know, will he just try and run straight over me? Because he's got the ability to do the whole lot. And watching his performance last week was amazing. You know, it's for such a young player too. He's just beaming with confidence at the moment.
They're playing well, aren't they?
And they are. I suppose that's another thing. He's playing on the back of a good team at the moment. They're on, you know, they are on fire, the Roosters, and, you know, any outside back love to be playing behind that pack.
Daniel Tupou's going great on the wing. Boyd Cordner's been outstanding lately. He's a real leader, that guy, and you can see why Mal made him Australian captain, and he's certainly playing like a guy at the peak of his powers, that's for sure. Victor Radley's obviously at hooker and doing a good job in the absence of Jake Friend, but the Roosters are not up against a side that's going to be easy to knock over. Ricky's got this team firing. They beat the Panthers. Jack Whiten, we've spoken about him. Once again, he's stepping up, isn't he? Like, he was their best, I thought,
last week. He's had a great season, Jack Whiten, you know, coming into six. And I think the good thing about Jackie Baggs is he's a natural athlete, and he's quite a size about him for a six. You know, he's not small, and but he's very good on his feet. He's got a bit of pace, and he's got a lot of natural ability, but he's really backing himself.
Josh Papali also very good, which is a good sign for Queensland. There's some good signs for Queensland, actually, with Papali playing well, Arrow playing well.
Yes.
And also Maguire, though he got that calf injury.
Well, we got Kafusi. I mean, Kafusi, we can't forget Kafusi.
Well, he's a back row. I'm talking about the middles.
Oh, the middle, yeah,
middles,
sorry.
The middles,
sorry, yeah.
And that's really important for them.
Yeah.
But he's going well. Soliola's doing his bit. This is going to be a belter of a game. Unfortunately, Leilua's still out for Canberra, and they miss him, but Rapana's back on the wing from a rib injury, so that's a plus. I'm a bit worried, though, about John Bateman for Canberra being absent with that fractured eye socket. He's been their best player.
He has been their best player.
So it's not looking good for Canberra against the Roosters. I mean, any other team, you'd think, well, they can probably handle it, but...
No.
What do you think?
Roosters for me. Even though it's a match of the round, I just think they're on a roll, you know, and that won't stop this weekend,
I can't
unfortunately,
see it stopping
for the
either.
Canberra.
Well, finally, this is going to be a good game too. The Rabbitohs against the Cowboys. You spoke in your column last week, Steve, about one of the players you didn't think Queensland would like to see in the New South Wales side, and you mentioned Cody Walker. He's gone out and had an absolute blinder. He and Reynolds under Bennett are playing what they see. They're playing with more freedom, and they've gone to another level. What do you make of this guy? He's a late bloomer. He was 26 when he made his debut.
Oh, mate, he's a natural footy player, and, you know, they're the players that Wayne Bennett loves to get a hold of. I'll be honest with you, he loves these. So he wouldn't give him too many instructions, and as you mentioned, Joel, it'd be to him and Reynolds, you know, and especially Walker out of the two. Mate, you see something, you go for it. You know, you look up and have a look in front of you, and you play what's in front of you. Wayne loves that type of footy. He had it with Alf and Kevin Walters back in the day. And, you know, those sort of players seem to thrive under Wayne Bennett. You know, yep, we got our game plan. Let's start with that. But if you see something, have a go.
I love the way they're playing.
I do too, Joel. And once again, it's just, you know, good steady footy. But you've got a couple of good halves that are running that team around. And mind you, their four packs. Oh. Pretty red hot.
Well, Sam Burgess, it's like, I mean, Sam plays well every week.
Yes,
but
he does.
Look, I'm sure he knew how much that game meant to Wayne last week.
Yeah.
It meant a lot to Wayne. Like, you could see him, he had that smile there 10 minutes to go, and the assistant coach, Jason Demetriou, looked chuffed.
But isn't that funny?
as he should, because Jason Demetriou is a very good attack coach.
Yes.
He's got some great ideas, which we saw at the Broncos, and I think that would have given him an immense amount of pleasure to see the way they attacked last week against the Broncos.
Isn't it it's great to see, and this is why he's such a good coach, and I'll talk about the master here, Wayne Bennett, that he can get a team, and he's done it. You know, he did it with St George. He obviously did it for Broncos for a long time. All those players wanting to play for him. Because ultimately that was happening. You mentioned with Sam Burgess. I mean, you know.
Nothing unusual, but I just saw Sam play with a real like determination. Yeah. And like when he crashed over, it was like, I'm here, fellas.
Yeah.
And you're not stopping me. And this one's for you, Wayne.
That's a belief, mate. It's a belief, and Wayne gets that out of them.
Yeah. They're looking good, aren't they? And but then we've got the Cowboys. And I must say, I've got to take my hat off to John Asiata. Last week, I thought he was outstanding. Look, he's a real talent, that guy. He's, yes. I believe he played in the halves when he was young. He's showing some great skill.
He's got some skill for a big man, I tell you. Yeah, playing where he is, and he's filled in a really good role there, and just impressed. You know, with what he's been doing, coming in that position.
I'm impressed. It's a shame for the Cowboys they've lost Maguire. He's been their best player week in, week out, but they did get back Taumalolo. And if you look at the Cowboys' performances this year, they won game one on the back of a master performance by Taumalolo. He got injured in the first minute against Brisbane, basically. And so he's back for one game. So they've basically won two, the only two games he's played, been fit, they've won.
Yeah.
So big difference.
But is that good enough to conquer the Mighty Rabbits in their form and the way they're going at the moment? I don't think so. I really believe the Rabbits will I reckon they'll dominate this match, to be honest, and get away with a pretty comfortable win.
Well, I don't think it's going to be comfortable, actually. And I do. One thing that the Cowboys also have here is Kyle Felt back in the team for the first time after having some groin problems. That's big for them. Gives them more backfield punch. But, yes, the Cowboys are going to have to play the game of their life here. Now, there's a few guys with Origin jerseys on the line. You know, Jake Granville's sort of come back into the frame.
Well,
if he can string some really good games together. Matt Scott, obviously, someone I think should be in the Queensland team. Then there's other guys playing for their positions, I guess, in Cooper and Hess. So there's a lot. I mean, that's not why they're going to play well. They want to play well for the Cowboys. But there's a lot riding on this for some of those guys. But I'm tipping the Cowboys.
Ooh.
Sorry, I'm not tipping the Cowboys. I'm tipping the Rabbitohs.
Yes.
I'm tipping the Rabbitohs to win.
I was a bit taken back by that.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean to say that. Okay, that's the magic of the magic round that we've discussed.
Joel, looking forward to it. And as we said, great concept, and there'll be plenty to talk about by the end of the weekend.
Well, we'll talk about it next week. We'll see how your Broncos go. We'll be talking to you about the Broncos in your column. But we've got more podcasts coming. Fantasy on Tuesdays with Chris Kennedy and Dominic Brock. Thursdays with the Late Mail crew. The Broader Game with Katie Brown and Alicia Newton Thursdays. Pow Wow with Sowow on Fridays. And that's always interesting. Really good Jai Arrow piece by him lately, by the Sowow. Yeah. And then the Sunday session with Chris Kennedy and the great Roosters premiership winning Dynamo Craig Wing, wrapping up the round that was.
He was a good player, Craig Wing.
He was, wasn't he?
Yes.
His excitement every time he touched the footy. Anyway, we'll talk next week, Steve.